covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou into thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Then in chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, you to help me this morning. Help me to say what you want said, and Lord, to say it the way you would have it to be said. And Lord, speak to every heart that's here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every Texan should know what a Roundup is. But just in case you don't, in the days, especially in the days of free range, where they didn't fence in the pastures and they kind of shared it, several ranches' cattle would obviously, they'd graze together. And at least once a year, those ranches would get together and work together to round up all the cattle out of the canyons and the creek bottoms and the brush thickets. And they'd gather them together, and they'd be brought into that one gathering place. They'd be separated out according to the brand that there was, and they'd brand the calves, and then they might select some of them to be sold. And it was a tough job. It was dirty work, but it was necessary work. Well, the Bible here in Genesis chapter 6 gives us an account, I believe, of the most unusual roundup in history. God had decided to destroy the world by a flood, but he was going to use a man named Noah. And because Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, he was going to use Noah to preserve and continue life on the earth. Now, the reason I say it's the most unusual roundup in history is because this roundup wasn't just of cattle, all right? It was a roundup of every kind of animal in the world. I mean, it was the donkeys and the kangaroos and the elephants and the giraffes and everything. You say, preacher, do you really, really believe that took place? Yes, I really do believe that. I really believe God had Noah prepare an ark. We would call it a great ship, a great boat, if you will. And it was bigger than you can sort of imagine. They have built just rather recently a replica of it in Kentucky. And it goes along the same size anyway. And it's a monstrosity when it comes to size. It's huge. And but it would hold. And by the way, they didn't have to take two full-grown elephants, okay?
Amen. Come on.
Somebody said, I'm like the guy that says it doesn't amaze me that he was able to get two elephants and two kangaroo and two giraffes. He said, it amazes me there was only two fleas on that dog, all right? So, I mean, that's the amazing thing but God did it, and hey, they were all rounded up, and nothing was going to be branded because everything belonged to the same owner. It all belonged to God. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He created them. He owns them. That's what the Bible tells us in chapter 50, the 50th Psalm in verse 10. It all belongs to him. It's his, all right? The earth and the fullness thereof. Well, you say, why the roundup necessary? Well, plainly speaking, because of sin. If you have your Bible there in Genesis chapter 6, Verse 5, the Bible said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Then verse 11, the Bible said, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. You say, how bad was it? Well, wickedness of man was great. The Bible tells us here, every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. You say, okay, so what does that have to do with us today? Well, I'll remind you, now I want you to go to Luke chapter 17, all right? Luke chapter 17. That's why I had to put your finger in that place there and hold on to it. Just one verse. The Bible says in Luke 17 verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Hey, in the day when the Lord is going to return to this earth, in the day when he's coming back, you say, well, what was it like then? Well, the Bible said the earth was filled with violence. Boy, it's not hard to make an argument that the earth is filled with violence today either, is it? I mean, just continually, we have, you know, news accounts. We have personal accounts of people and the violence that they're encountered. We have the shootings and all of that kind of thing going on in the world. Hey, that's the kind of day it was in Noah's day. Well, that's the kind of day in which we live. Well, in Noah's day, God said we're going to round up the animals and we're going to take the righteous and we're going to put them in the ark. Now, the Lord's not going to destroy this earth by water again. He's promised that. But there is a roundup coming. There is a roundup coming. But I want to preach to you on this thing that causes the roundup to be necessary. This thing of sin, all right? Boy, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me. Amen. That's you.
Yes, sir.
I mean, every one of us, we look in the mirror, we see a sinner.
Right.
Yeah. I don't go to a football game, and I enjoy going to football games, and I don't go to a football game, though, and look around and say, there's a whole bunch of sinners, without having to admit we're a whole bunch of sinners, because I'm one of them. Hey, but there's something about sin. I'm going to just give you a few things about it, and then we'll tie it together at the end if we could. Number one, I want you to see sin causes people to wander. To wonder. Notice what the Bible said there in Genesis 6, verse 12. It says, all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth.
Amen.
All flesh. Sin causes folks to wonder. We wander away from the way of God. God has a way to live. God told Isaiah, in Isaiah, he told him, he said, this is the way, walk ye in it. You know, he's outlined a way for you and I to live. So what do we find? Well, we find people that wander away from that. We find people that wander away from it. We have this method of keeping people in. We build a fence. All right? We build a fence. My daughter-in-law runs a daycare. They have a fence. And used to it was a chain link fence. And I could use the illustration, but now it's a wooden fence, so I can't use it. But when it's a chain link fence, if you put a bunch of kids in a playground that's fenced in, you can put all kinds of playground equipment out there. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But I guarantee you drive by, there'll be at least one kid at the fence looking through, wishing he was on the other side of the fence. All right, I don't care what it is. I mean, the playground equipment's there? Oh, no, that's not good enough. I want to be over there. I want to be over there. If you see, if you've ever driven much in the country and you've got a pasture out there and there's cattle in the pasture, man, the grass is luxurious. It's knee-deep out there and green. Everything's wonderful. But there'll be one cow with his head sticking through the fence, scratching his neck on the barbed wire, trying to get that one little morsel outside the fence. Hey, there's something about sin. We're the same way. We're prone to wander. We wander away from the way that God would have us to live. He's outlined it for us in the Word of God. Hey, but just like cattle, just like goats, just like sheep, man wanders away from the best that God's provided because we are convinced that we can find something just a little bit better. And if you just leave me alone, I can find something just a little bit better than what God's provided. And we wonder because of that. And we get away from the will of God. We get away from the Word of God. We get out of the way of God. And the truth of the matter is we wind up in a mud hole out there, bogged down in the mire and mud of this ungodly world.
Amen.
And that's what we wind up living in. When God says to us, you could live here. And my phone rings and somebody says, preacher, could you come talk to us? I got a real problem. Hey, why? Because they got away from the way of God. They got away from the will of God. We wandered away. Here we are in a mess. We didn't have to be there. But we decided, I've got something better than what God says. Hey, there's just something about sin that attracts us and causes us to wander from the way of God that He's outlined for us. But when we wander, then something else comes into play. Take your Bible to the 23rd Psalm. Probably one of the most well-known passages of Scripture in all the Bible is the 23rd Psalm. But there's just a few words here I want you to get, all right? That chapter starts in chapter 23, and the 23rd Psalm, verse 1, it starts with this, "The Lord is my shepherd." But the next three words are so key. If the Lord is your shepherd, he said, the next four words, I shall not want. I shall not want.
Amen.
But it's amazing when we wander away from God because of sin. Sin causes us to wander, but after we wander, guess what? We find ourselves wanting.
Right. Amen.
We're lacking, all right? We're lacking. Why? Well, because we wandered off. And we claim that we love this passage of Scripture, but when you wander away from God, folks, He's obviously not your shepherd. Because if He's your shepherd, then you're going to follow Him. You're going to follow Him. You're going to allow Him to lead you. You're not just going to wander off. If He's the shepherd, you're going to stay with Him. And a lot of people quote that verse, but they don't mean it. All right, because those last four words in that verse destroy him.
Right.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, if you left out the "not," they'd go for it.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd and I shall want. As a matter of fact, I'm wanting all the time, all right? Because I just feel like something's lacking. Hey, what's wrong? Well, we've wandered away from God. Gotten away from Him. We're no longer enjoying the provision of God. We're no longer enjoying what He wants us to have, what He's provided for us.
Right.
Chapter 23 there of Psalms says, He leads me beside the still waters.
Yeah.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures.
Right.
Hey, there is some wonderful, wonderful food, wonderful water. It's there, it's available if we follow Him.
Yes,
but what does sin do? Sucks us away from Him. Pulls us aside, gets us distracted.
Right.
We suddenly find ourselves in want.
Amen.
Why? Because we got away from His provision.
Amen.
Now the obedient child of God is being led by the still water. He's enjoying the provision of those green pastures. But the lost man, the disobedient child, he's constantly looking for something that'll satisfy him, but he can't find it.
Amen.
Can't find it. Constantly looking, more and more. People today, man, we're never satisfied with what we've got because we're not right with God. You get away from Him, you're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be content. You're always going to think, well, if I just had more money, I'd be happy. No, you won't. You won't. Well, if I had more stuff, well, you won't be happy with more stuff either, all right? Those people that hoard. We've talked about hoarders. And some people have accused me, but there are some things I do hoard, okay? But we look at things like that and we think, well, why don't they get rid of it? Well, I don't know. But why is it we're not content with what God gives us?
Amen.
Hey, because our relationship with Him is not right. We're not right with God. We're not satisfied. We've wandered away from Him. He's our shepherd, but we've gotten away from Him. We're not following Him. We're doing our own thing. Remember, we wander away because we figure, I can find something better. I can find something to be more satisfying. We covet it all, but we're satisfied with nothing. Nothing. Why? Because of sin. Sin. Hey, sin causes us to wander. Sin causes us to want. Now you hear me, sin causes us to wither. It dries us up. It just eats at us. Listen, God made you a spiritual being. You are not just a physical being. The Bible teaches us that man has a spirit, a soul, and a body, a physical side, that body, all right? What you see of me is not really me. It's just merely the body I live in, okay? The body I live in. Sometimes, and many times I have people tell me, oh, man, you're looking good. And I always say, you want to borrow my glasses? Or you need better glasses, you know. Hey, man, listen, the truth of the matter is, this old body looks worse all the time. Looks worse all the time. It gets old. It wears out. I'll tell you, from my side of it, it's not looking good. Well, yesterday I was driving up church for the men's prayer meeting, and coming up here, and I was thinking, man, my hips are hurting, and oh, the arthritis is acting up and giving me problems. But that's from that physical side. But you're more than a physical being. You're more than a physical being. Hey, God made you a spiritual being. Well, we feed the physical side. The old flesh has got some great appetites. And we feed those appetites. We entertain those appetites. We try to make them happy and keep them happy. But we let the spiritual man wither away, all right? We let him wither away. Over in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find these words, the Apostle Paul speaking of that situation. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's a spirit. Hey, we can renew him, but only if we have a relationship with our Lord. So many people today don't have that relationship. And what happens is they begin to wither up. They dry up. And you find a person who's angry at the world. I go to Walmart or the grocery store, wherever, and I never go to the self-checkout. Never. I despise the self-checkout. One, it taking a job away from people. Second reason is I feel stupid talking to a machine. And I like to talk to the cashier. And usually the cashier says, how are you today? And I usually say, man, I'm having a big time. And I am. I said, what's better? I'm having the thrill of shopping at Walmart, all right? You know, what could be more exciting than that? You know, here I am and just enjoying life and getting the best out of it. And I was at Walmart the other day and I said something about it. I said, man, if it wasn't for cigarettes, they wouldn't have a cashier anymore. Because the only cashier was the one working the cigarette counter there. So I was checking out and I said, man, I don't like them other ones because I feel stupid talking to them. I said, of course, I guess I could slap that one. But if I slapped you, you'd probably get mad, you know. Hey, listen, that physical man, he needs something. But let me say this to you. That spiritual person that you are needs something too. If it doesn't get it, it dries up. And you find people that are angry. You find people that are bitter. Why? Because that inner man is withered away. The eventual outcome is, hey, it affects the body too. It's going to die. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. It's going to die. This body of mine is going to die. You say, why? Sin. Sin. This body, death's coming.
Amen.
Death's coming. You know, we do everything we can. Isn't it amazing how much effort we put into keeping the physical alive? We'll do everything we can. I mean, we don't want to turn loose the loved ones. We'll put them on machinery and allow those machines. Listen, if something happens to me and it takes a machine to keep me alive, cut me loose, all right? I don't want to be there. And I don't want to be there if you can just talk to me, but I can't speak to you. Because I want my part to be said, all right? I don't want to just be there hooked to a machine. But it's amazing how much effort we go to keep the physical alive. But the spiritual man's dead. The Bible said if you've never been born again, that you're dead in trespasses and in sin. Dead, all right? That's about as plain as you can say it. Dead in trespasses and sin. Hey, that spiritual man needs some life. Sin kills. Sin kills. Sin causes us to wander. Sin causes us to want. Sin causes us to wither. And then sin causes us to do something else. It causes man to wait. And this might be the biggest problem that sin does for us. Because sin always causes us to think, I can wait just a little bit longer. We think, I'll put off salvation, all right? I'll put off salvation. I'm not going to trust Christ today. And most people, most of you sitting here, if you're saved, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you did not get saved the first time you heard the gospel. Most people don't. We even get convicted. And I got saved when I was a 9-year-old boy. And then the Holy Spirit of God convicted me of sin. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed a Savior. I knew what I needed to do. But I just put it off. You said, why? Who knows? Why do we put that kind of thing off? If somebody comes to you and offers you a couple of $1 million, tax-free, no strings attached. I know the first thing you say is too good to be true. It's probably not true. Well, let's just assume it was. You would not say, let me think about it. You wouldn't think, hey, if somebody come to you and offered you a $100 bill, you wouldn't say, let me think about it. I'll get back with you tomorrow. You wouldn't do that. Brother Dunbar this week, I'm not going to tell you why, but I gave him a $50 bill, all right? And he did, you know what he did? After he took it, he said, why?
Amen.
After he took it, he said, now, don't misunderstand me, but I'm just wondering why, all right? But he already had it in his hand, all right? He didn't say, let me think about it just a little bit. He took it.
Amen.
He took it. You know, but the Lord offers man salvation. He comes to you and he tells you, look, you're without Christ. If you've never trusted him, you're on your way to an eternity in hell, according to the Bible. Hey, I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about confirmation. I'm not talking about any other thing except just plain and simple salvation. You trust in Christ as your Savior. That's what I'm talking about. And it's amazing to me how many people say, well, not right now. Okay, so here you are. You have the opportunity for eternal life, and you say, let me think about it. Let me think about it. Guarantee if you were laying in a hospital bed, and the doctor just left your room and said, it's terminal, nothing I can do for you, you're going to die. Somebody came in beside you, and they had this glass, had this liquid in it, and said, you drink this, you'll live. Most of you drink it. You'd say, well, what's it going to hurt? I don't tell you, how in the world do you turn down the opportunity for eternal life? But there's something about sin that gets a hold on us. And we think, I'll put it off. I'll put it off. Sin causes us to wait. Hey, it's not just the lost person that faces that. It's also the person that's been born again. Sin gets a hold in that life, and we hear it, and maybe you hear the message of God, and the message is preached to you, and you realize what I'm doing is wrong. There's a price to pay. I need to quit. But not right now. I can hold on to it just a little bit longer. I'm not quite ready to confess it and forsake it. I'll hold on to it just a little bit longer. Hey, nobody's found out yet. We think I can get away. We think I'll get away with it. You can't. But there's something about sin that says, wait. Wait a while. Now, I told you, in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and chapter 7, the Bible tells us about the most unusual roundup ever being, where all the animals came into the ark and God used it to preserve life. The Bible tells us there's another roundup coming. I want to invite your attention, if you will, over to the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. No, wait a minute, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians. Don't have it written down here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible tells us there's another roundup coming. We refer to it as the rapture. Now, the word rapture is not a word you find in the Bible. It's a word to describe what the Bible describes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Talking about those that are dead, "that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Hey, I want to tell you, that's a situation. Well, the Bible, we use the word rapture to describe that. Well, the Bible tells us the Lord's coming back for those that are saved. And it says those that are asleep in Jesus, those that were saved and have passed away, the Bible said the graves are going to open, that body's going to come forth and it's going to be changed. It's going to be changed. The Bible in 1 Corinthians says in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, hey, that body will be changed. Hey, you talking about a roundup, that's a roundup. Then we which are alive and remain, were it to happen today, if you're saved, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, in an instant you'd be gone. You'd be gone. And that would be, it'd be done and over. But here's the problem. Sin causes us to wait and think, nah, it's not going to happen today. Now, I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm not about to stand up here and tell you, I've got the day. God spoke to me. God hasn't done that. And he hasn't done that to anybody else either, okay?
Amen.
But he said, you better be ready. You better be ready. That day's coming. That will be the final roundup. Mrs. Noble walked in this morning. She said, we ought to sing, "I'm headed for the last roundup." Hey, I am headed for that roundup.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if I'm going to die before it comes or if I'll be one of those that are alive and remain. But I want to say this to you. I want to be ready when that comes.
Amen.
My question to you is, are you ready for that to happen? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith in Him? Are you holding on to that thought, I found something better? You haven't. It won't take you anything better. It'll cost you. Are you ready? Have you trusted Christ? Hey, you're here and you're a Christian, but the truth of the matter is you'd be ashamed to meet the Lord the way you are today. You need to fix some things. There's some things need to be taken care of. There's some sin that needs to be repented of. It needs to be confessed. Now, why don't you do that this morning? Why don't you decide, hey, I'm going to take care of that today. I'm going to deal with it right now. Listen, you're here and you never trusted Christ as your Savior. In just a moment, the song leader is going to come. They're going to come to the instruments. We're going to have a word of prayer. Then we're going to sing a song of invitation. We're going to invite people to come. Hey, I will invite you, if you've never trusted Christ, if you'd just have the courage, step out, walk down the aisle, meet me right here at the front. We'll have somebody take the scripture and show you exactly what the Bible says, because we want you to fully understand what the Bible says. But don't allow sin to cause you to say, well, I'll wait, because you may not have tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. Christian, you're here this morning, but hey, your life's not what it ought to be. It is not what it ought to be. There's things there that need to be forsaken. There's sin there needs to be confessed. Hey, this is the time to get right with Him. Would you take that chance? Would you do that this morning? God extends that opportunity to you. Will you take that opportunity today? Would you stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this morning realizing we could be standing between the living and the dead. Lord, somebody here needs to trust Christ as their Savior. Somebody here has put it off until today. Lord, I pray they had not put it off any longer. Help them to come this morning. Lord, there's Christians here that have wandered away from You. They need to come back to You, and I pray, Lord, today they'd come back. Lord, they'd come to this altar. They'd come to these steps here at the front. They'd confess their sin to You, not to me, but to You. And then they'd forsake it. And, Lord, reestablish the relationship they need with You. Lord, would You deal with us this morning? Each and every one, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing this morning the invitation hymn, number 395. Hey, just a very simple invitation hymn. God's dealing with you. Would you come this morning? If you need to speak to me, I'll meet you here at the front. You come while we sing, would you? Come on.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall depart right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment?